Amen. You can have a seat. It's easy to think that authors that lived 2,000 years ago who wrote the Bible, maybe they were a little idealistic, a little naive even, because they were born and lived before studies like psychology and sociology and anthropology, all the things that teach us about who we are, and maybe they just didn't understand how humans operate. And so when we read 1 Corinthians 13, and that's the text for this whole series that we're in this summer, as we think about love and friendship, we think maybe Paul was a little idealistic. Maybe he didn't understand how humans actually interact. But the truth is, Paul got it. Paul knew what it was like to be opposed, to be lied to be talked about, to be tried, to face being stoned and beaten, and all these things. He had experience. So it's not as though he wrote these words naively thinking this is just the way that human beings will get along. Paul knew the gritty reality that sometimes people treat each other horribly, and yet he calls us to love each other. And this passage, we'll read a little bit from it, in a minute. It's familiar to most of us, but it speaks to the nature of love, and we're using that to understand how we should relate to our friends, the most important relationships in our lives. And friends may include people outside our family, but also inside our family, or coworkers, or whoever it may be that form your closest friendships. And so we're allowing Paul's understanding of love to speak into that. Now, today, as we think about the topic that comes up next in our passage, I want to ask a question as we get started. The question is this: is there someone in your life who doesn't know what they don't know? Have you ever met somebody who didn't know what they didn't know? You think, okay, is James all right? Because this question doesn't make sense. But the point is, my guess is there are people in your lives who want to know, or at least be known as, someone who knows everything. Like, they can never admit they don't know something that you're talking about. So, for instance, let's say most of us, because we went to school, somewhere along the way encountered the phrase quantum physics. Like, we know that's a thing out there somewhere in science, right? But I don't know many of us, maybe you can tell me afterwards, but I don't know many of us who even understand what in the world that's about, right? I mean, I can read a book about that and still go, that's interesting, have no clue what they mean by it, but I'm sure it's true, right? It's out there. But you've got somebody in your life who, if this topic is brought up, they will fake their way through the conversation to try to convince you they know what this is about, right? We all have people like that who, like, they just don't realize there's stuff they don't know about. Or maybe it could be a little bit like this, since it's Father's Day. There's somebody in your life that you might even live with who thinks they can fix anything in the house, right? Until they try. And then 3 days later, we got to call a repairman to fix what they broke when they were fixing the thing that was already broken, right? They don't know what they don't know, and so they keep trying, right? There are people like that in our lives. They just don't know what they don't know. And this can really be a problem in lots of areas of life. Like, when people are afraid to admit that they are ignorant about something, they just can't bring themselves to say, I don't really get this. Or they just don't believe that there's something that they don't understand. And that can hurt them at work. It can hurt them in their finances. It can hurt them in their family and all kinds of other relationships. So there might be somebody in your life who, like, they think that they know how to handle it when they get upset. Like, they are fully in control. They don't have a problem with anger. And everyone around them would say, man, he has a real anger management problem. But he doesn't know what he doesn't know. Or there's people in our lives who think, like, they are real. They can read people. They can just listen to someone talk, watch them speak, and, like, I know what they're thinking and feeling. I am emotionally connected to these people, and everyone else in their lives are going, they just don't get it. They never understand what other people are feeling. And what goes along with a lot of this sense is pride. Maybe even the word arrogance we should use. For people that just cannot admit that there's some shortcoming in their lives in terms of either knowledge or perception or whatever it is. There's something that they just don't know. And so they keep going, acting like they know everything. And the arrogance tied up in that is really dangerous in so many areas of life, especially our relationships, because we end up running roughshod over people because we don't understand our own shortcomings. So what does Scripture have to say about this? 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about this. We've been in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, laying out these characteristics of love. We've done three of them so far. Today, we're sort of going to take two together. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, and here we go, it does not boast, it is not proud. Now that last word in the verse there, it is not proud. Literally, that word means, the word Paul used is puffed up. Like they have this sense of self-importance, that they are so good, so important, that no one can do without them. And so they develop a sense of pride or arrogance. And maybe sometimes we are guilty of the same thing. We are puffed up in what we think we know, or what we think we can do, or who we are in our position or power, whatever it may be. Pride is the problem. Now, like all these characteristics that we've been looking at in this chapter, where Paul lays out this is what love is, he mentions all these things that love really is a component of love, but he doesn't really explain it. But fortunately, Scripture talks about almost all of them in lots of other places, and this is one that we could find lots of passages that talk about. And in fact, the book of Proverbs talks about this more than once. We see lots of Proverbs describing the issue with pride. And so Proverbs is all about this is how life works. And this is what we read in Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. This is the same concept that Paul is talking about when he says, love is not, a friend is not puffed up. The writer of Proverbs is saying, I've seen this at work. And when people are proud, this is what happens: destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. This is how relationships and how people fall apart, because they have an exaggerated sense of self-importance, an exaggerated sense of what they can do and what they know. They don't know what they don't know. Jesus talked about this as well in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus says this, beginning in verse 11. The greatest among you will be your servant. In verse 12, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, the first part of verse 12 sounds a lot like what we read in Proverbs, and Jesus would have been aware of that. He's saying, listen, when you think you're really important, it's going to give you trouble. But he said, instead, let's turn this on its head, and why don't you think of it this way? Instead of sort of taking the first place and making sure everybody knows what you're doing, instead, those who humble themselves will be exalted. In other words, you don't have to be noticed. You don't have to get all the credit. You don't have to have people say, man, he or she is really smart, or they know what they're doing, or look how talented they are. All those things that could be said. In fact, it might be that you live your life in such a way that other people get the credit, and it's okay. In fact, that's the kind of person that we need to be. That's the kind of person who is showing love. If we back up to what he says in verse 11, Jesus really turns things on his head. The greatest among you will be your servant. So Jesus says, instead of taking the position or the role that everyone seems to want, because it's going to gain the most notoriety, people will notice what you're doing, they will give you accolades, instead of taking that position that seems so important, be the servant. Take the role that nobody else wants. Take the role that needs to be done, but will not be noticed unless it goes undone. And in that, you will find real value. You see how that is the opposite of puffed up? You see how that's the opposite of self-importance, the opposite of I know how to do everything and I know everything. Instead, it is, let me do this job that nobody's going to notice, just because it needs to be done. And when I do it, maybe no one will care, but it'll get done. This is all about the contrast between pride and arrogance and humility. And they really are at opposite extremes, right? Because pride says, well, if something goes wrong, then it must be somebody else's fault because what I've done is right. Humility says, oh, there's a problem. Let's figure out how we can fix it. Pride says, I've done all the hard work. Humility says, we've worked really hard in this. Let's keep working. Pride says, wow, what kind of great leadership I've shown. Humility says, wow, this team has really achieved. You see how it's all about us and not just about me? It's all about what we can do, not what I've achieved because of my great ability and knowledge. They are very different things. And scripture from Paul back to Proverbs and even in Jesus' teaching says if we're going to be followers of Jesus, then we're going to be people of humility, not people who are puffed up. See, here's the problem with pride, or a problem with pride. One of the problems with pride is that it creates all these blind spots. We have all these blind spots in our lives where we don't recognize our own shortcomings, where we don't recognize our own ignorance. We don't know what we don't know. And because of all those blind spots, we can be destructive in all kinds of ways in our friendships. But the lesson I want us to learn today is that humility reveals the blind spots that arrogance, pride, create. Humility helps us see, oh, there is this big thing that I don't know, or this thing that I don't know how to do that I'm going to have to ask for help on. And it's okay. It's not a big deal. Asking for help is all right. But humility helps us see those places where we're coming up short and we need to grow. Now think about this in terms of, well, humility has a really bad rap in some ways. Sometimes people think humility is, oh, I've just got to feel bad about myself, and I've got to talk about how bad I'm doing at work or whatever. I've got to talk about how I don't know how to do this stuff. And humility is not about tearing ourselves down. Humility is about honestly and openly recognizing that we can grow. It's being teachable. Now, I don't know about you. Lots of you have worked with a whole lot of people in your careers, okay? And what I've found is that the people who are the hardest to work with on a daily basis are the people who are not teachable. They already know how to do everything. And you can't just sit down and say, hey, listen, let me show you another way to do this. Let me show you a way that has worked really well for me. The people who can't do that are almost impossible to work with because they can't ever learn anything new. But I can work with almost anybody who is teachable. Because if we're in a relationship with someone and we both recognize that we have things to learn from each other, there's a humility that goes with that that overcomes the pride being puffed up. I've got to be the expert on everything there is to talk about in this world. If we can both be teachable, then we can learn together and we can grow in that relationship and do that work together. And I think that's true across the board. Being teachable is one of the keys to having healthy relationships and being successful in life. Because there's always something to learn. You know, one of the things I've learned about people is that the people who will honestly say, I don't know, are the people you can trust. The people who will say, you know what, I'm going to have to research that to give you a good answer. Or the people who will say, I don't know how to do that. Can you help me learn? Those are the people that when they actually speak authoritatively about something, you can believe, because if they didn't know, they would tell you. They would get it. And they would let you know that this is a gap and it's an opportunity to learn something new. So if we can be that kind of people, first of all, we'll get along with others a whole lot better. And when we actually speak about some area of knowledge that we do have, people will listen. You know, for most of us, it feels really good when someone comes to us in an area of knowledge where we're an expert because we've done this a ton. Like there's stuff that almost everyone in the room knows how to do that there's others who have no clue. And when someone actually comes to us and says, you know what, I don't know how to do that. Can you teach me? Most of us don't have a lower view of that person. We have a higher view of that person. The people that think they know everything are hard to live with. The people who openly and honestly admit stuff they don't know and don't know how to do are usually the people that we want to be around. And so this sense that Paul gives us all the way back in 1 Corinthians 13 as we sort of think about friendship and relationships. When we hear him say, love does not boast and love is not puffed up, it's right. I mean, Paul really does get it. That if we want to maintain healthy friendships and relationships with people, if we can both be teachable, if we can both acknowledge I've got room to grow. You know, when we think about well-intentioned criticism, somebody who knows everything about everything can never be criticized. But someone who recognizes that there are places that I can grow can receive healthy, well-intentioned criticism that will allow them to improve something in their lives. When we can be that person, we can be a real friend in difficult times because we're willing to admit what we can't do. We're willing to take on the roles that other people don't want. And we're willing to grow in the midst of difficulty. So don't be the person who doesn't know what they don't know. Instead, be the person who says, you know what? I just don't know. Let's figure it out together. Because when we do that, we overcome those blind spots that pride can create. Let's pray together. And we all know we've had those moments where we wanted to know everything. Or we wanted to know how to do, what to do, how to figure it out, everything. But help us in those moments to instead be willing to learn from others, be willing to learn from you, be willing to follow the example of Jesus' humility, even as the Son of God, willing to wash feet. God, help us to become that person. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things that we struggle with the most sometimes is to admit, I'm a sinner. And part of being a follower of Jesus is getting to that point that we believe who he is, that he's the Son of God, that he's the only one who lived a truly sinless life. And when we compare that to ourselves, we have to recognize, man, I am imperfect, just like everyone else in the room. And we call that repentance, because repentance says, I've not been living the way I should, and I want to change that. So we have faith and we repent and we're baptized into Christ, and that allows our sin to be forgiven. So if you're at that point, I would love to talk with you after the service or sometime during the week. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ or become a member of our church, reach out. We love to have those conversations. Let's stand and continue to worship.